I'm telling you right now, if I could give you any gift of an evangelist to you, this would be the man I would give to you, because I just love him so much. And I'll tell you what's been a blessing for me to see, because I have seen incredible things through their ministry. It's just been amazing, thousands of people coming to know the Lord. And you're going to hear about some of the other ministries that they're doing. But what I've loved is the humility with which he has served. That has remained consistent. Our family has been with them on all kinds of trips and fun things in their home. And that consistency, Pastor, is what we've been talking about living life's purpose, right? And he lives life's purpose. So would you come and welcome my friend, Dave Reaver.
Thank you, Tammy. I love you. You're a sweetheart. God bless you. Thank you, and good morning. What a joy to be here today and to be with this wonderful, wonderful congregation of folks. And I love Pastor Brooks and Tammy. Y'all are just so special to me. And I got to meet your little daughter. And boy, there's a lot of bridges under the water. You got it. You're listening. I can tell. But I'm just so happy to be here. And we enjoyed so much yesterday morning with the men of this great church. And what a turnout. I was very, very impressed. I could go on and on, but for time's sake, I'm going to move forward quickly. I want Kathy to join me. Kathy and her husband have served with me in ministry for over 30 years, actually 33 years. And I would not have attempted to do the things we've done in ministry without this couple. And as the sunset of ministry is approaching at my age of 75, as of day before yesterday, wasn't it day before yesterday? Wednesday. Boy, I'm already headed towards 76. Running. But she and her husband are, for 5 years, we've been working diligently to prepare them for the future on her own as an ordained minister. And today I've asked her to join me on a platform to minister to you in song and to greet you. She has been a faithful servant in ministry as my associate evangelist for these decades. And I want you to meet a great lady. Would you welcome the Reverend Kathy Wampler?
Good morning. It's good to be with you. We recently were on a motorcycle ride through a beautiful part of Colorado. Yes, you can be jealous. The colors here are so beautiful. Just ride around here and it's gorgeous. But we were riding through this part of the country. There was a sign on the side of the road that said, "Prison area, do not pick up hitchhikers." Now look, I don't need a sign for that. Not in the habit of it. As a matter of fact, the one time I did, when he got in the car, he asked me if I was worried that he might be a serial killer. I told him, it's highly unlikely there are two in the same car at the same time. That didn't happen. But anyway, as I passed the sign, I actually got to thinking about the sign, and I thought to myself, you know, I would never do that in the natural. But spiritually speaking, I pick up hitchhikers all the time. Doubt, fear, worry, anxiety. All of those things that we pick up, and we give them a free ride in our mind and our heart. You know, the Bible tells us that we can bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. I call that taking back hitchhikers. Take them back to prison. Leave them where they belong. Keep our mind stayed on Jesus Christ. Keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. No matter what we see, no matter what we feel, no matter what's happening on the news or in our life, keep our eyes on Jesus and bring our thoughts captive into his obedience, right? And when we do that, we live in peace and joy and happiness. And when we also do that, we're able to say, no matter what happens, it is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul today? If it's not, it can be well before you leave this room today. Amen? Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my when sorrow like sea billows roll, sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole. It is nailed to the cross, and
what a song. That was written out of tragedy, if you didn't know that. Horatio Spafford wrote that after the loss of his son, and then his business burned to the ground in Chicago. Then his wife and three daughters on their way to Europe, the boat sank, and his three daughters were drowned. His wife survived alone and said that in a text, or in a telegram back, said, survived alone. That's all it was. And he lost everything. And on the bow of that boat on his way to be with his wife in Europe, he wrote that song, Over the Watery Grave of His Daughters. And we think we've suffered. We think we've had a bad day. And a song like that come out of tragedy. Let me tell you something. When you know Jesus, there's a song in the night. Yeah. And they that sow in tears reap in joy. Yes. Good song, Kath. She has these albums, three of them. If you don't have them, get them on the way out. She'd appreciate it if you pay for them. And they are beautiful, beautiful, beautiful songs on there. You'll love them all. And a book called Scarred, this is an autobiography. It's my story. And you can see the fingerprint of God on this boy talking to you from the time he was a baby. And if it's any word of encouragement to you, that book is not intended to be about me. It's intended to be about us. How God can take us from our childhood to our grave and use us for his glory in all kinds of situations. That book will really encourage you. And it also has been updated along the way with my work today with the Department of Defense as a contractor. I am a resiliency trainer, suicide prevention counselor with a comprehensive soldier fitness program for all four branches of the military. More about that later if time permits. Also a book called War and Recovery. More recently, I wrote this to encourage civilians to understand you don't have to go to war to get hurt. I got a Purple Heart. You went to divorce court and got a broken heart. And a broken washer, and the ex got the dryer. It works. That's life's not fair, is it? So that book will encourage you. And then a wonderful DVD. They're still around, a few of them. And if you have a DVD player, you'll love it. It's recorded at a great church in Texas at, what's the name of the church? Gateway. I always have trouble getting that word to come up. Gateway Church with Pastor Robert Morse. And then we have wonderful shirts for both men and women. And it's Operation Warrior Reconnect, which is our program with the Department of Defense. The lady's shirt has the intentional faded glory, and it's a women's cut. I think you'll find these shirts to be a great billboard. But in addition to that, it is a support to our ministry, to our troops. Now, listen carefully. You need to hear this. I do not take any royalties. I do not take any sales percentages. Nothing comes to Dave Reaver on this, all right? So don't think I'm doing this to make money. And $100 million in sales in our lifetime, I've never taken money for what we do in these sales. This is to give our warriors a free ride for the first time in their life. They get something they didn't have to pay for. Freedom's not free, friends. We all know that. But you need to be quite aware of the fact that I would never charge them when they've already given an arm and a leg. Our program is scholarshiped, including round-trip airfare. And in fact, yesterday I was honored and privileged to schedule one of your warriors from this community into our program who is struggling mightily with post-traumatic stress disorder. We're going to see that man healed. God is still healing the mind, the body, and the spirit. And then finally, we have a card. It's called Catch 22, and there's a bracelet in it with around 22 beads. It depends on whether it's extra large or small. But these beads are lava rock, and they absorb the orange of oil, essence of orange. And it has a fragrance that, according, and it's the studies recorded on the back of this. You can find it online with George Washington University, where that essence of orange oil calms post-traumatic stress. It actually works. And we do this because, number one, 22 veterans today will commit suicide. Let that just soak in a second. 22 veterans will kill themselves today. Every 65 minutes, a veteran will put a gun to his or her head or hang themselves or find a way to commit suicide. That is unacceptable. Amen. We've got to stop it. Well, it's not snake oil. It's orange oil, and it apparently works. These are available back there, and if you'd like to get one of those with the oil, be sure and stop by the table. These things are all available. You can use your credit card or your neighbor's card. It was in your driveway. You found it. Finders, weepers, losers, keepers. No, I'm kidding. But please make these things available to yourself. They're great ministry items, and they have a great purpose in the funding of our troops. So it's really not about money. It's about men and women who serve. Pastors asked me to do something I haven't done in a long time. In fact, the last time I played the piano publicly was about 8 months ago at the very difficult time in my life. I played a song at the passing of my wife to COVID-19, and it's been a very tough road since then, and I'm going to try to do this as unemotionally as I can. Some explanation needs to be made. First of all, my hand was severed. It was cut in half by the explosion in the war in Vietnam. And the fingers don't work. But I've got one finger that does work, and I use it. And if you can't be good, be loud. I learned that from a group called Metallica. And so I use the side of my fist every now and then, just out of frustration. I just hit the keys to be loud. But I have to use a rubber band to hold my thumb up, because it's paralyzed and it won't work without some artificial tendons to hold it out of the way. And I'm not good. I don't want you to expect anything great out of my piano playing, but that's not the point. I'm not giving the best compared to someone else. I'm giving the best that I have to Jesus. And I'm going to play a song in case you don't recognize it. It's called How Great Thou Art, and I hope you enjoy it. Thank you. Thank you. I only missed a few notes there. But the Lord liked it. Thank you for letting me sit down. In 2010, I was in Iraq, and I jumped out of a helicopter, and I hit wrong, and I broke my back. 12 screws and two rods later, I'm an inch taller than I used to be. I don't know how that worked. But I can't stand very long, and I don't walk very far. But at 75 years old, they're still writing contracts for me to go to minister to our troops all over the world in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Bosnia, Kosovo, North Africa, South Korea, Okinawa, Japan, wherever our troops are, they send me. It's not because I'm good looking. It's not because of my mighty military strength I have to sit down to talk. It's not because of my intellect. I was in the top 10% of the lower one-third of my class. I majored in math, and I found out that 5 out of 4 people don't understand fractions. If you didn't get that, you were in my class. You know why they send me? I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Yep. And they don't send losers to talk to guys about coming back from the brink of darkness. They send winners. And it's not the man. It's who's in the man. It's not who I am. It's whose I am. I belong to Jesus. I tried to illustrate this for the gentleman. I think maybe if I didn't say it yesterday morning, I did last night in another town somewhere, wherever I was last night. I spoke of the bottle. It's just a glass. It's just a cup. It's just a container. And you don't go around acknowledging the cup or the glass or the container. It's what's in it that matters, right? So today, I will unfortunately have to use myself as an example, as an illustration of my own message, but I don't want you to think I can't speak without talking about myself. But I am the delivery system today. I am the bottle that I hope to bring to you the water of life in. So I will refer to the bottle because it's been highly damaged. You ever see the grocery store shopping cart with all the cans in it with no labels and they're bent and it's $10, 10 cents a can and it's catch whatever it is. You don't know what you get. That's the basket I'm in. I'm in the basket of damaged goods and I'm like the box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get. But I can tell you today, I'm happier than I've ever been in my life with the most difficult times I've ever had in my life. You have to fight for what you believe in. You have to fight for what you want in life. Nothing comes easy, does it? Really, think about it. And the older you get, the more you understand that. Nothing really comes easy. When I met Brenda, I fell in love with her. I was 16. On my 16th birthday, I was barely, one day past 15, I fell in love. One day, asked her to marry me when I was 16, on my 16th birthday. She slapped me. She said, I'm only 13 years old. I said, but you have the body of a 14-year-old. She slapped me again. I used the word body, and that was TMI, too much information. She was very conservative, and she said, if you love me, you'll wait for me. I said, I'll pick you up at 10. I can wait. I knew what she meant. Her dad also knew what she meant. So we were both virgin when we married, and I get a standing ovation in public schools for that from the girls. The boys salute in a strange way. Never mind. And we got married when she graduated, and I was drafted immediately, almost immediately. I was in Bible college, but I was working. I was passing, if you call a D. Actually, I was below sea level. Yeah, that's pretty good. You caught that in Michigan. They told me I was going to be inducted in the Army, and I joined the Navy so I wouldn't get hurt. I got up that morning, had a bad decade, and they sent me off to war after training. I was trained with the U.S. Navy Special Warfare Command. I'm a SWC sailor, SWC, and Special Warfare Command. And I was trained by a Navy SEAL commander, served in Vietnam with a SEAL Team 1, and was injured twice on the 23rd of July and the 26th of July. But I was not a Navy SEAL. I was a brown water black beret. I was a boat driver for the fastest boats in the U.S. military or in the military anywhere. These boats were extremely fast, they were extremely light, and they were extremely vulnerable. They were made of fiberglass, and they used anti-tank rockets to blow us up. And when those boats would be hit, they just went up in smoke. White powder, drive a cocaine addict insane. All that powder in so little time. And that was a bad joke. I just thought of that. I shouldn't do that. And on the 26th of July, I would be confronted with two things. A hand grenade explosion that was 6 inches from my right face. And I was confronted with the memory of the last words I said to my teenage wife when I kissed her goodbye at the airport. I'll be back without a scar. I could have just said, I'll be back. Then I could be governor of California. But I had to put that scar thing in there because I believe God was through a self-fulfilling prophecy. God was warning me what was coming. And she would not get back the man she married. That handsome young prince would be floating down the river in pieces. And it was not fair to that little girl. It was not fair. Life's not fair, is it? We want to think that it's the fairy tale ending to everybody's life. It all works out in the end. Well, it doesn't always work out in the end. Sometimes it ends very negatively, very difficultly. I had to fight to keep her because whenever they sent me to Vietnam, she went to work for Allstate Insurance, and her co-worker wanted to get him in his good hands. He wanted her in his good hands. And he's trying to date my wife. I'm fighting for my country, and he's trying to date my wife. I got even with that sucker. I buy State Farm insurance. Yes, I do. Showed him. And then I was injured, and my medic tried to steal my wife right under my nose on that ward at the hospital at Brooke Army Medical Center. I got even with him. I feigned I was dying one night, and I mumbled real quietly, and he got his ear down close enough to hear, and I bit him. I bit him right on the ear, and I clamped down. I said, you touch her, I'll kill you. Scared to get, what am I going to do? Choke him with the hose that's in my nose? I mean, it scared him. He never came back, so I showed him. And then I got out of the hospital, and we went to college, and her professor brought her flowers. Right there at the very university we're going to, that professor tried to take my wife. Well, I never met him, but he saw me one day with my one eye, one ear, and one nostril. I didn't even have this. It was all pink skin, no hair, nothing. I was horrible looking. And he figured if I looked this bad, the other guy didn't make it at all, and he didn't want to be that other guy. He never messed with her again. No more flowers. Then the fourth guy, and I'll quit with this one. The fourth guy came along, and he was different than the others. And first of all, he recognized who she really was. She was really special. And he loved her, and he made promises to her that I couldn't keep and gave her gifts I couldn't afford. And he took her. I'm not emotional. I'm allergic to your carpet. She ran off with him. But I got his name, and I know where he lives. His name is Jesus. And he took her to his place. But he said, if I'm a good boy, he'll bring me there, and I get to be with her again. Sorry. So I'm going to be a good boy because I want to see Jesus even more, and I want to see Brenda because I tell you, I'm going to get even with her. She got there and threw her arms around him and said, Dave, who? I'm not fooled. It's not about me. It's not even about Brenda. It's all about Jesus. And let's keep that in mind this morning as I conclude a few thoughts for you, because on the 26th of July, my life changed. When I was a boy, I was born to a woman that almost died and did die because of my birth. And I was raised by a Mexican nanny. My first language was Spanish. I didn't speak English until I was 6 years old. And I had to go to school to learn English. And then they told me I wasn't a Mexican, and that blew my Hispanic mind. And then I go to war, and I get my face blown off, and I have a whole new identity. That blew my mind. I shouldn't talk about blowing my mind with a hand grenade. That's funny right there. I don't care who you are. Sometimes I laugh at myself. But the grenade blew 6 inches from my right ear. A sniper took a shot at my head, and he missed and hit the grenade I was holding just as I was trying to throw it. And it took off half my skin off my body. 60 pounds of flesh went up in smoke in seconds. Went blind in my eye, deaf in my ear. It's artificial ear. It fell off when I was preaching in Jamaica. I stuck it back on. They thought it was a miracle, and they all got saved. That's a true story. And it's not my hair. Well, it's my hair, but I bought it. There's a bald guy in Wuhan today. And I don't mind the hair. I just hate chasing it across parking lots on windy Sundays. That's embarrassing. A dog brought it back once. That was embarrassing. What am I doing? I'm laughing. I'm mocking. I'm ridiculing the devil's best effort. He took his best shot, and the only thing he got was my body. My spirit and my soul are unscarred, unburned, unhurt. So my body took a hit, but no big deal. You know, we get a new body, we get a new life one day anyway. So it doesn't matter about the body. It's the least of the Trinity I'm worried about. It's my spirit and my soul I want to take care of. And I do my best with my body. I take the best care of it I can. I've had 10 surgeries in the last 5 years. Operations number 50 through number 60 have taken place in the last 4 years and 6 months. And that included making me a nose. And Tammy remembers when I only had a piece of a nose. It was all pulled over and I couldn't breathe. I have a nose. It's a boy. I'm so proud of it. I have eyelids again. I can actually close my eyes for the first time in 50 years. Have lips again, the better to kiss you with. And this is not a joke. They released my neck because it pulled my mouth down so bad I drooled. And now I can turn my head and I can see better. Everything about all these years I've struggled, and in the last 5 years, they've put Humpty Dumpty back together again enough to function pretty well. I don't scare children near as bad as I used to unless I intentionally do. And I go, then I like that. That's a joke. So what am I telling you is the devil took his best shot, and I'm still here because no weapon formed against me can prosper. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And we, you and me, we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Don't you get it? You see, there's a hand of God that we're in. And the Bible says nothing can pluck us out of the hand of God. That doesn't mean you can't jump, do a backflip and a half gainer on the way down, but I don't recommend it. I recommend you just stay in the hand of God. Amen. Let him continue to be our protector and our hope and our future. General Thompson of the National Guard for the great state of Oklahoma said to me recently, he said, our guys stare into the darkness so long the darkness stares back into them, and then they take their life. That's that catch 22. We're trying to catch those 22. Well, let me tell you something. The darkness is very real, and if you focus on the darkness, it'll stare back. And there's 1,000 ways to take your life, but there's only one way to not lose your life, and that's to get your hope back. And I want to tell you, on July the 26th, 1969, I lost my hope. Actually, I didn't lose it that day because the grenade exploded. All the damage was done, but they flew me out by helicopter. And for time's sake, I'm going to quickly get you through this. They got me out by helicopter, and in Japan, they took me to Japan in a big C-141 hospital airplane, and in Japan I asked for a mirror, and they brought it, and I saw what was left, and I knew I broke that promise that I'd come home without a scar. And so I figured they wouldn't open the casket, so I had to make sure I was dead. I didn't want to live. I lost my hope, and I tried to take my life. I tried to kill myself, and I pulled the tube out because I didn't have a gun or knife. I just laid my head back and waited to die. I got hungry. It's the wrong tube. I pull lunch. You can die that way, but it's going to take. That wasn't my life dripping on the floor. That was my lunch. And so if you smell a pizza, you're singing, plug it in, plug it in. You don't want to die. You really, really, you don't want to die. God made us to be very conscious of self-preservation at all times. We don't want to die. If you think you want to die, then why did you hit the brakes when that car in front of you stopped? you don't want to die. But sometimes living is more painful than dying. Living is more fearful than death. And that, I lost my hope. And they flew me to America and got me to Brooke Army Medical Center. I was there for a year and 2 months. And in the first day, they put me in the intensive care unit. And they let visitors come in, and a woman came to see her husband in the bed next to mine. He was 100% third degree, guaranteed to die. She took off her ring and threw it on his bed. She said, "You're embarrassing. I couldn't walk down the street with you." She walked out, and he died. I thought, well, I know what's coming. No teenage girl can love a monster like me. And I looked at the tubes, but they're not labeled. Suicide tube, food tube, you know, coffee tube. I couldn't pull it in time anyway. She's standing at my bed. This little teenage girl. You know what she did? She bent down and kissed what was left of my face. She looked me in my good eye and she said, "I just want you to know I love you. Welcome home, Davy." And when she says, "Davy," I said, "I'm sorry, I can't look good for you." She said, "Baby, you never were good looking anyhow." I left the hospital with suitcase in one hand, sweetheart in the other. And God had a plan for my life through all of it. And I didn't know what it was in the middle of it. We seldom ever do. It's one day we look back and see those fingerprints I talked about in our lives. And we see God didn't shoot me in Vietnam. He didn't blow the hand grenade up on me. He didn't set me on fire. God didn't do that. But he took the best shot the devil had and turned that thing around against the devil. Devil beat me with a stick. I picked up the stick and beat him back with it. He beat me all over the face and shoulders. I've beaten him all over the face of the earth. And I got it from Jesus. They took two sticks on him, and he took those two sticks. And he's beating the devil all over the face of the earth with those two sticks. Get a stick and hit the devil. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering in this house. So to close, I'd like to show you a little video that kind of tells you what I do. It's my stick that I beat the devil with. It'll show you the ranches I built in cooperation with the Department of Defense to bring a place, have a place to bring our broken warriors for healing. It also will show you the places downrange in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Oman, and Qatar, and all those countries in the war zones, especially Iraq and Afghanistan. If you've served in those countries, you may recognize some of the places because I'm not permitted to label them for confidentiality, but you'll see those places. Then you'll see the most difficult thing I've ever been asked to do for my country. And it wasn't to get hurt in Vietnam and survive it. The most difficult thing I've ever been asked to do for my country is to bring home in an airplane filled with caskets, covered in flags, the remains of those who, with valor, laid down their lives to give us the right to be in this room and talk about Jesus without the fear and the threat of government interference, which is already trying to take place. And don't you ever forget what I just said. They're trying to take it away at all cost. Don't let the sacrifice of the men and women I brought home in those airplanes be for nothing. I hope this video will touch your heart. It's very short, but it's very dramatic from my spirit. It's called The Angel Flight Home. Would you please play that? Thank you.
Carson Tower, good afternoon. Angel Flight Bravo 03. Gear down 5 miles. We have a hero on board tonight.
Angel Flight Bravo 02, you are number one for landing. Welcome home.
There's another flight coming, ladies and gentlemen. I call it an angel flight, too. We're going to go home, and you talk about a hero's welcome. We won't be arriving in a casket. Our feet will land on streets of gold. You believe that? Jesus paid the price for the ticket. It's already been bought. The question is, do you have it? If you don't have it, now it's time to get it, because when that ticket's punched, I want to be on that flight. How about you? Say amen. So to make sure we've got our ticket, would you join me in a simple, simple prayer? If you know Christ, renew your vows. Let's renew our vows. If you're not walking with Christ today, make your vows at the same time we renew ours. And let's get that ticket in our hands today. So when it's punched, we know where we're going. I would love to know that not one soul in this room would be lost. This circle would be unbroken. And we'd all stand before Christ. Let's pray this out loud together. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of the Most High God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again. You gave yourself for me. Then you gave yourself to me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. From being a sinner, you have made me a believer. I am now a born-again believer. I am a servant of God, a child of God, co-heir with Christ. I'm born again. I'm a Christ follower. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering in this house. Amen, amen, amen. I've run a few minutes over, Pastor. I apologize. There's going to be an offering taken. You need to know right quick. Come on up, Pastor. That this offering does not come to me. It comes to the same thing that these sales percentages and these sales go to. I don't take percentages. I want you to understand that so that you don't think that I'm being in any way greedy for money. But without greasing the wheels fall off. You know what I mean? We've got to keep this thing moving. So today when you give, here's what you're giving to. We have a session coming up. They cost me $30,000 every single session, 30 grand. We do not take government grants for these sessions. If you do, the government will take it over. I'm not letting Uncle Sam take away what Jesus has bought and paid for. Amen? I'm not for sale for 30 pieces of silver. So I urgently need your support, and we're finishing up a few touch-ups in construction at the ranch in Texas, and we urgently need your help. If you can give today, do it. And here's the little caveat. Banker Insurance provides a matching gift of $1,000 per $1,000. If you give $1,000, they match it with that. You give $100,000, they give $100,000. They've done that 9 times. I'm asking for your support. It can be doubled. If you get, now that doesn't work for collective giving. It's only for individuals and individual companies. So if you can make that contribution of $1,000 or more, it's matched, and you're welcome to do that through the church's means here. If you're one of our donors already, you know, or if you're not, you can still give on the credit card at our table. But every gift will be recorded for Pastor to know exactly what was contributed, so no money are transacted. Transactions of money are exchanged in this church without the board or the church and the pastor knowing about it. Does that make sense? It's accountability. You're welcome to give with your credit card, but just know that when you do, it'll be added to the total number of givings of this church. So thank you for your support. I'm Dave Reaver, and I approve to this message.
Thank you, Pastor.
We're good. So, it's all right. If you would like to hear his entire story, he mentioned the DVD, of course, the biography book, to really hear the life story. I wish we had time to do that. But I wanted your heart to be touched, not just with a story, but with a life. And this life is now offering life to others. And that's why outside the sanctuary, we put separate tables with the offering plates. So you can make, we want to just make sure, because sometimes your checks can be written to NCA, but sometimes you don't always mark it clearly who it's for. And I just want to make sure we delineate clearly today. If you're, it's your tithes and offerings to the Lord, that's inside of those boxes. But outside, you can also go to their table. They'll be glad to take that gift directly. But again, we'll be sending whatever you give through the church to them, and they're going to let us know, be aware of what you were able to do. Let me encourage you, because something I didn't tell you earlier was at our missions giving. If you remember a few months back, I was asking, our giving had gone down. Just this past week, I received from our national office a report on our first 9 months giving compared to last year's first 9 months. And they were just celebrating with us as a church that our giving has increased by 75% over last year to missions. Can I say thank you, church? You are a generous church. And I'm asking you to keep being generous, because whatever you cast, the Lord will give back. Maybe not always in the way of dollars, but in the way of blessing. And that blessing may touch another life. So I'm asking you, would you be generous today? Because you have been. Let's not stop now. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for our friend Dave. Lord, we really just only heard bits and pieces today of a story, a life story that has many, many moments and years of things that have affected. And Lord, we sit here and our lives have been affected in different ways, negatively, some positive. But Lord, today we want to give you our lives, whatever that is. And Lord, whatever years we have left, may we understand our life is about you and how you want to purpose your life's purpose through us. So Lord, move upon our hearts. And Lord, may we always be generous to you and what you're doing in kingdom work. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Dave, I have a statement that I use. In fact, they can. If you can just reiterate it to him today, and because this is what we believe we ought to have. Is what, church? A Jesus-filled week. And that's what we want to live for Jesus. And then we'll come back, and we're going to keep living for him. Amen? God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Those Dave Reaver's giving outside the door, your tithe and offering here. And then the youth are there. If you made a pledge to them, fulfill your pledge. And we're going to see God do great things. Thank you for